Praise the Lord. And if you could go ahead and play that here this morning.
Super
giver? Yeah! Because you can too, with the Unicorn Kids Club. Praise the Lord, amen. You know that we know how to teach our children, amen, at a young age, amen, to be blessed. Amen. If you want your children to be blessed, amen, to grow up and have a blessed life, amen, we'll teach them, amen, to give, to unite if we can, amen. Even the kids gang can give, amen. If the kids gang can do it, amen, so can we, amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Sophie has a special announcement, amen.
Amen. How do you know we believe in our kids gang, amen? Yeah. We believe in our children, and we know that they are our future generation, our future leaders, that they are the ones that are going to take cities and countries, amen? Yeah. And so what a wonderful way for them to feel a part of our vision, yeah. Amen? Of our vision, to be super givers, amen? And so next Sunday, every first Sunday of the month, which is next Sunday, we are going to start doing super givers for them, amen? Yeah. And so this is a time where, you know what, they say, I want to be a part of this. You know, we got to train them young, right? The Bible says, teach them in the way they should go. When they grow up, they won't depart from it, amen? And so it is our responsibility as parents to train them, to teach them. And so next Sunday, they're going to have their launching out, their super giver launching day, amen? And so there's different ways that they can be part of it. I believe it's $5, $7, and $10. It's the cheerful giver. Where does she go? Gracie. It's the chill forgiver. I don't know if they have the flyer, but there's three different ones. And then the top one, of course, is super givers, which is $10 a month. Amen? Amen. And so you say, you know what? I want my child to be a part of it. Amen. So have them come ready and prepared next Sunday. They're going to have a beautiful service there in the children's ministry. And so have them come prepared. Amen. Here's $5. And this is for your cheerful giver, or the $7 or the $10, amen. And so they can also, like we have different levels, amen. We have different levels. They have different levels, amen. And so this is not your giving, amen. This is not your United We Can giving. This is our kids' United We Can giving, amen. And so we want to encourage them, and we want them to say, hey, you know what? I want to be a part of it. I want my kids to be a part of it. So they're going to have a wonderful, wonderful time. Amen. And so they'll feel very much a part of it. Amen. And so they're going to get their little sticker said, I gave today. Amen. And so we want them to be blessed. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, give the Lord some praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many know that the kids are—they're our future, amen. Yes. They're going to be the ones that take, amen, the pulpit, amen. They're going to take the pulpit. They're going to take, amen. God is going to use them in a mighty way, amen. They're the third wave, amen. The third wave is rising up. Praise the Lord, amen. And here this morning we've come to the special part of the service, amen. The most important part of the service is where we're able to receive the Word of God, amen. Are you ready for the Word of God here this morning? Praise the Lord. I know that God has a word for us, amen. And here this morning, we have a very special guest speaker, amen. He's no stranger, amen, to Victory Outreach of Grand Prairie, amen. He's a good friend of ours, amen, a good friend of Pastor Francisco and Sister Sylvia, him and his wife, Sister Buffy, amen. And we know that God is using them in a very powerful way, amen. Using them in a powerful way, and we know that they're there in the Victory Outreach Church of Dallas with Pastor Jesse, amen, backing them up. Praise the Lord, amen. And so now he's local, amen. Now he's close, and we know that God is using him in a mighty way. He goes and he preaches, amen, all, you know, to Fort Worth and to North Dallas, and he's a powerful, dynamic man of God and a preacher of God's word, amen. He knows how to break down the word, amen. And he's a very good friend of mine as well. He's an encourager, amen. And so I want to go ahead and call them both up, amen. And I want you to help me welcome. Let's all stand, amen. Let's all stand and help me welcome up Brother Paul and Sister Buffy. Praise the Lord, amen. Hallelujah.
God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
God
God bless you this morning. Well, just to break the ice, I was just telling Sister Sylvia, yes, Buffy is my real name. For those of you that don't already know me, I was named after a singer back in the 60s. My parents were hippies. And this Buffy St. Marie wrote a song about the war. My dad was in Vietnam when I was born. So now you have my secret. I bring greetings from Pastor Jesse and Sister Valerie, my pastors that I love dearly. Amen. I love them, love them, love them so much. I love them. And we're just here this morning to bring you the Word of God. I love Victory Outreach. I don't know where I would be without Victory Outreach. I don't know where my husband would be, my mother-in-law who came today would be without Victory Outreach. And my son who's still working on his testimony that won't be in Victory Outreach. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus saved me, but Victory Outreach raised me. I love this ministry, and I don't know where I would be. I love the Lord, everything that he's done in my life for over the 26, 27. Well, my son just turned 28, so over 28 years of ministry. It's been a privilege to serve in this ministry. It's been a privilege, truly a privilege. And this morning, I just hope that you're blessed this morning, that you would put everything aside, because the Lord truly wants to speak to your soul. If you came hungry this morning, you desire to hear from the Lord, and you want change, open your hearts this morning and come to the altar and don't leave the same this morning. Amen. Amen. I love your pastors. I'm sorry to miss Pastor Francisco today, but how many of us know that your pastor is always on the move? That's why they look so young. They look so young because they're always here and there and everywhere, but they're always careful to make sure, you know, that they're always feeding their sheep and taking care of their sheep, loving their sheep. It's good to see familiar faces this morning and some new faces too. That means God's moving. He's doing something this morning. Amen. And I just pray that the Lord would just speak to you this morning. Amen. God love you.
Come on, let's give Jesus some praise this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, worship team. Thank you so much. Amen. For how many of you appreciate your worship tonight? You know, one of the things that I love about your worship team is they're young. Oh, come on, somebody. You have a young worship team, so you should be secure in your future. Because if they responded to the call at that young age, then they know how to disciple because they were discipled. So this third wave is going to continue to impact and saturate not only North Texas and the city of Grand Prairie, but I believe throughout the world. Can someone say amen this morning? Glory to God. I would ask that you would remain standing for a moment. And if you have your Bibles, if you would open up to 2 Peter, the third chapter. And as you're turning there this morning, I'm ever so grateful for my salvation. I thank God for his son Jesus and Jesus' obedience to come and to suffer for a wretch like me. I'm thankful that Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie responded to the call of God for this ministry. Because in this ministry, I'm a product of the home. Hello, somebody. And so I know that other ministries do a great work. They do. But I'm also convinced that Victory Outreach is often imitated but never duplicated. And so I know that in this ministry that everything that has been created so that we have a good, solid legacy, so that we know the rock that we've been cut from. We know that that comes from Pastor Sonny to Pastor Ed and Sister Mitzi to Pastor Jesse and Sister Valerie and here to your pastors, Pastor Francisco and Sister Sylvia. That's something for us to have an assurance about, that the lineage and the bloodline that we come from in this ministry, that there is security. Can someone please say amen this morning? And I just also want to thank Pastor Francisco and Sister Sylvia so much, you know, for the opportunity, you know, for any pastor to share their pulpit. You know, it's there's a trust there. You know, there's a trust there. And then for us to be released by our pastor, there's a trust as well. And so I'm grateful that I could be trusted. Amen. I'm so thankful for that, because how many of us know there was a time ain't none of us could be trusted? And so I'm so thankful that, especially with Pastor Francisco not being here, that he would allow us to come and be able to stand beside Sister Sylvia and Pastor Josh and Sister Austinette and all the leadership here. Because our desire is just to simply compliment the work that God is doing in Grand Prairie. And I just have to mention that, you know, in the transition, it's been a year that we've moved from Austin
to Dallas. And I thank God for Pastor Jesse and Sister Valerie.
Amen.
You know, if we were to look at this in the natural and there was an adoption process, and you know that once that adoption is finalized, then all of a sudden that is being adopted, then they carry the name of who adopted them.
Amen.
Are you following along with me?
Amen.
And so I'm a Jessite. Hello, somebody.
Yes.
I'm a Jessite. And he claims me as being a Jessite. So I say that with all assurance
yes.
and boldness.
Yes.
I'm a Jessite. Hallelujah.
Come on.
Amen. So I'm grateful for that this morning. Amen.
Yes.
But I believe that the Lord gave me a word for the church. And I want to be able to convey that word radically with power and authority. So please be open this morning for what God wants to do. And we're going to look at verse 17. And I'm going to read two verses this morning. We'll begin at 17. And it says, "Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall away from your secure position." Verse 18, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just ask this morning that you would use me as your weapon of choice, Lord. God, my desire is to preach and to teach your word, Lord, with an anointing and the power of your Holy Ghost. That, Lord, you would give me insight and wisdom during this message, Lord, to convey all that Peter was saying in this verse, to look in reference to Jesus and all that he was and how he lived here on earth and served you so that we can follow that pattern. God, I give you all the glory. I thank you for everything you'll do in advance. And the men and the women of God say,
amen.
Amen. You may go ahead and be seated this morning. You know, I don't really title messages too much because I don't like to be locked in. You know, sometimes when preachers or ministers, you know, we title messages sometimes, but then all of a sudden we also kind of feel like we've, you know, kind of limited the Holy Spirit. But this morning I did title it, and I want to talk about being a relentless Christian.
Amen.
A relentless Christian. So that is going to be the theme and the driving of this morning's message, is to be a relentless Christian.
Yes, that's good.
You know, when we look at this portion of Scripture in 2 Peter, you know, there's a consensus of many theologians and those that, you know, put together, you know, Bible history. And they believe that Peter, that when he wrote this, that he was in a Roman prison. He was going to be sentenced to death. Death as a martyr. And when I thought about that, you know, I thought about how Peter, that there was enough Jesus in him to be not only guilty, but convicted of the crime of being in possession inside of him of Jesus. Because when you think about us, and I think about myself, I wonder if that was the state today. That if I would have enough Jesus in me to be convicted as a Christian and a follower of Christ.
Come on now.
And so when I look at Peter and see this, it encourages me. I want to be encouraged by Peter, especially in the way and from where he was writing. Because you and I were on his mind. Peter was concerned about all that would read. Because remember, Peter walked with Jesus.
Yeah.
And so he was concerned that in this writing, and especially now that he was in these last moments of his life, that simply that you and I, that we would be stirred inside of us to grab a hold of everything that Peter was emphasizing about being mindful of the prophets and the apostles and everything that they wrote about the Lord. See, Peter's concern was the evidence that there was already false teachers that were starting to infiltrate the church.
Oh, come on.
Because they were infiltrating the church, then Peter was starting to understand that if they lacked in detecting that false doctrine that was coming in,
oh, come on,
then they wouldn't be able to combat against apostasy.
Ooh.
And apostasy, you know, it's a big million-dollar word, but it simply means that the abandoning or the growing cold of your faith. And so Peter knew that, you know, here he is. And, you know, I mean, think about it. The radical per se follower at this time, they considered it an honor to have to be crucified or to be jailed or to be beaten for being a follower of the way.
Come on.
But not everybody had that passion. Not everybody had that desire. And so Peter knew that there was going to be a lot of mocking that was going to take place. There was going to be a lot of ridicule that was going to happen for those, especially because they were going to stay back and they were going to witness the persecution, you know, the beheadings and all the different things that were going to happen, especially because in this season, being in the reign of Nero, who hated Christians. And so here's Peter, and he's writing, and he's thinking about you and I. He's thinking about this letter that's going to be circulated, because he wants the believer to not lose their drive and their passion for serving the Lord.
Amen.
And so when we look at chapter 3, which is the last words, if I could say it like this, his concern of his legacy that he wanted to leave.
Come on now.
And he's writing and he's saying from this place, he's saying, listen, when you read these words, be mindful that you have to continue to grow in the Lord.
Amen.
See, sometimes I believe that what we find when people start to grow cold, or they start to just become apathetic, they lose their passion and they lose their drive to serve God. You know, sometimes we wonder, was there really, really a genuine conversion?
Amen.
Was there really, really an authentic change? Was there really somebody that was converted and then became a disciple? Because sometimes we have a church full of converts, but we lack disciples. And so what happens is that somebody can be a convert for years upon years upon years and just have kind of seasons and moments of being a disciple or being a learner or being a follower of Christ. Are you catching it?
Amen.
And so when you think about the season that we're in Victory Outreach and being around the years that we've been around, I went into the men's home June 25th of 1990. I can honestly say that I believe that Victory Outreach, we are in the greatest season, the greatest moment in the history of our ministry. To see the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the power and the authority. That God's Spirit is just finding open vessels. And He's not being concerned about age or ethnicity or social status. He's just looking for a willingness. Yeah, but we still have the responsibility, beloved. You and I, we are not exempt. We still have the responsibility to live a relentless Christian life.
Yeah.
Am I in the right place this morning? Yeah. See, when we think about relentless, and I know that that's been a theme since 2018 that's been moving through our ministry. But it means to be consistent and persistent.
Come on.
It means to be uninterrupted and single-minded.
Mm, come on.
But I also like this, that it also means to have the identity of somebody that seems to never, ever give up.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Come on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on.
See, in this season, just like Peter, when he was facing, we don't really face the type of persecution that they faced. We face more of a verbal persecution here in the United States.
Yeah.
We forget sometimes that we do have brothers and sisters in Christ that in foreign countries, they are still losing their lives for taking a stance and following God. But when we look at today, and the opportunity that we have, and the freedom that we have of speech and so on and so forth in our Constitution, then we should be ashamed of ourselves. And I'm putting me in that as well. That we should be ashamed of ourselves to be ashamed of God. Oh, hello, somebody. That we should have a passion and a desire that from the day that we made a declaration to say, Jesus, come into my life. I ain't playing with you, God. Satan, I am your enemy as of today. I'm asking Jesus not only to be Savior, but I'm giving Him the place as Lord, meaning He is my Master. And so from that day forward, then I am under the obligation to continue to grow, to know God. Because when I came in to the knowledge that I was forgiven, there was so much more knowledge that needed to be obtained. So I have to become a relentless Christian and a life learner of the things of God. See, when we think about our following in Christ and our personal relationship, we know that simply that as we live in God, that simply we have to live Christ and God-centered lives.
Right, man.
Hmm? God and Christ-centered lives.
Amen.
You know, when we think about in our own lives. And, you know, and to be totally honest and transparent, there has been times where, you know, in this walk where all of a sudden, you know, Jesus and the vision and the mission of this ministry was being worked into my life instead of my life working into it. We go through those seasons, but we have to remember that's why it's so important that we stay in church and we stay connected. We take advantage of every training.
That's right, yes.
Because when we start to find ourselves maybe being diverted a little bit, then all of a sudden, because we've been trained, hello somebody, we know that if we've gotten knocked down, then we know that we weren't knocked down and we know how to get up. Hallelujah. That even though we may be a little punch drunk in the spirit, but we can still get them up a little bit, even though we may be swinging in the air a little bit, but how many of us know eventually we're going to hit that enemy? Can someone say amen this morning? But that's why we have to be quick and say, you know what, God, I'm sorry, God, I repent, God, I remove the sacred place, the vow that I made to have you be in the center of my life.
Yes.
God, to be in the center of my marriage.
Yes.
To be in the center of my workplace.
Right,
to be in the center of my home. To be in the center of my finances. God, to be in the center of my destiny. Can somebody color back just a little bit? Think about being in the centered life.
Amen.
That Christ, he gives life. Sometimes we think that it's just a philosophy. It's just a good slogan. That the evidence of a Christ-centered life is because we have a cross hanging around our neck. We have cufflinks that are little crosses, our earrings that are little crosses, and all of a sudden we are living far from the cross. We're able to go to Walmart. We don't even go to a Christian bookstore, a Christian store, but we can go to Walmart and find t-shirts for $5 with all kinds of Christian slogans and jargons. Hey, I got a couple of them.
Come on.
But that doesn't mean that we're living a Christ-centered life.
Amen.
Oh, hello, somebody.
Come on, man.
Just because we have a sticker on the back of our car. How many of us know that sometimes when they see that sticker, the cross, and the way we're driving, they think we stole that car. Hello, someone. But when we think about a Christ-centered life, it's about a perspective. It's about having the right outlook. Because we have the right inlook. Am I in the right place? You know, when we think about life, just the word life in itself. Life is just simply the period between being born and dying. The in-between we really can't, you know, per se predict, right? But we can guarantee death. And at death, we're going to be held accountable for how we live this life on earth.
Amen.
And so all of a sudden when we get saved, then how many of us know that what was in the center of our life wants to come in a lot of times and carjack Christ out of the center of our life, if I can say it like that. It wants to aggressively and angrily and violently, that past life wants to creep in. It's like a chameleon. And all of a sudden, it starts to find its way back in. It looks for the crevices. In the mind and in the heart and in the hearing and the attitude and the posture that we take sometimes. We listen to things that aren't godly, that aren't holy, that aren't in alignment with what our pastors have been preaching and the vision that God has given our ministry. Because remember, when we made that declaration, to say, Jesus, come into my life.
Yes.
When we made a declaration that Victory Outreach is my church, it's my ministry.
Come on, come on, come on.
That Pastor Francisco and Sister Sylvia, that they are my pastors.
Come on.
That they're my spiritual parents.
Come on.
Then all of a sudden, hell begin to be worried about you and I.
Come on.
Hell begin to be worried.
That's heavy.
Because if these words were true,
come on.
And the potential,
come on.
We showed the world of being under the influence of the world.
Oh.
We showed the potential of the risks that we were willing to take.
Yes.
And the life that we were willing to live, short-lived, loss of freedom, loss of dignity, loss of children, spouses, marriages, jobs. My God, if they say hell says that this individual is serious and sincere about making our eternal enemy their God, we better get it together. We better up the game now.
Come on.
And that's why we have to be so alert, so aware, so sensitive. We have to have a heightened discernment. On the past life.
That's right.
For some of us, we lived that party life.
Come on,
oh, come on, somebody. We lived the party life, right? Sometimes people didn't even want us around because we weren't serious. Everything was just a party. And then other people wanted us around because we were the life of the party. But still, aimless, just living life for one big party. All of a sudden you become 30, 40 years old, 50 years old. And it's almost like you're the oldest teenager in captivity because you still have the mindset of living this party life that started back in your preteens or early teens.
Come on now.
Try to get serious with you. God tries to get serious with you. But you just have this play mentality.
Break it in.
Then there's those that were involved in the nightlife. Hello, somebody. I remember Buffy and I, you know, when we first got married, our first year of marriage, we got married in the world. We went to Las Vegas. She was accepted to UNLV. I was on the run. I was absconding from probation. That was the worst place for me to go. But what I can tell you was, is being in California, you know, at 1:45, we would hear last call for alcohol. But when we got to Las Vegas, around 1:45, the nightlife was just beginning. I mean, we didn't even get ready to start leaving the house until about 10:30 or 11. Because not until about 1 or 2 were the clubs and the bars and the concerts and the life in Las Vegas. It was barely starting to come alive.
Wow.
And we were actually living there. So we were being conditioned with a whole mindset in our 20s that this is the life.
Wow.
That nightlife. Then we have people that, hello, Victory Outreach, the drug life. Oh, come on. Had that drug life, right? We were selling drugs. We were using drugs. We were criming for drug. We tried anything that was a drug, that was a possible drug. It possibly could get us high. Does anybody know? Did anybody say it wouldn't? Has there been any deaths reported? If we were to put this together, let's try it out. Because we were all still hung over from the nightlife and the party life, then a lot of times we were the first one to try it. I remember I found myself in that situation one time. Had a friend of mine, his father was a chemist. And, you know, seriously, his father was a chemist at the University of Santa Barbara, UCSB. And he was like, yeah, you know, my dad, he made this, you know, and he says it's kind of like an upper, you know, and I can still remember looking at it, and it was a clear capsule, and it had these little teeny tiny pellets in it. But I wasn't alone in taking it, so, and I was a daredevil, and I was broke, and it was a free high, so I said, well, I might as well try it. So within a couple of blocks, it was probably about 9 a.m. in the morning. Within a couple of blocks, all of a sudden, I'm there on a corner, and I'm holding on to the fence. And, you know, and I had a homeboy that lived like a couple doors down, you know, and all of a sudden, I said, man, I just need to get over there. So I get over there, and all of a sudden, he's looking at me, and he's like, hey, Paul, what's wrong? And he breaks out with the rosary. That's how concerned and scared he was. He broke out and started praying the rosary. And You know, I'm worried about you and lay down and sit down and, you know, and man, what can we do for you? You know, I'm worried, you know, you're saying, you know, all this, and I didn't know what was going on. But I'm going to fast forward it. So all of a sudden he left. He told me, I'll be back in a little bit, you know. And so all of a sudden, man, I started to sober up while he was gone. I called the connection and had some coke that I knew was good around the corner delivered. And so he walks in and I'm right there getting ready to do a línea. What is wrong with you, Paul? Oh my God, I thought you were about to die. I was over here praying, you know, Padre Espiritu Santo, the Virgin was coming into the room, and all of a sudden now you're doing another drug. What is wrong with you? I'm a drug addict. Hello.
Through.
But that's the way we lived, right? But you know the other life that some of us lived? You could say, you know what, I wasn't really in the party life, and you know, I wasn't really into the drug life or the nightlife. One thing I find out about those individuals that's just as deadly is the selfish life. Oh, yeah, because they look at us and all of a sudden they've drawn a line. Well, at least I'm not like you. At least I don't do the things that you do. And at least I don't act like, at least the family still wants me around. And at least I can still hold the job. And all these different things. But then inside your heart, you're far more uglier than the drug addict life, the gang life.
That's right. That's right.
Because everything centers around you. And so many times, you know, the drug addict, the gang member, right? The broken person. When we come to the altar and we give our lives, that's really all we have to offer God. God, if you can use anything, I give you my drug problem.
Amen.
You can use anything, God. I give you the paper that I'm on right now. God, I'm on probation. I'm on a parole. God, my marriage is messed up. My children are gone. They're in the system, God. But if you can use anything, God. I don't have an education, God. I have no more self-dignity or worth. But if you can use anything, God, then use me, God. Take control. I invite you to come into the center of my life. Am I in the right place? Oh, but that self-centered one.
Come on.
Oh, that selfish one. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
All of a sudden, first of all, they're reluctant to come to the altar because they don't feel that they need God or the type of God that we've been preached about. The righteousness, the selfishness, the self-righteousness. Then all of a sudden, when it comes time, because you and I, we've been trained right and taught right.
Come on.
That when we're asked, we have an open hand policy and we say, God, you know, you take it. I don't deserve it. You trusted me with it. I never took it back. So I leave my hand open to you. Because I know, God, if you require for me to give it back, that in that season, in that process of trusting you, you're just going to give me more. Oh, but that selfish individual. See, they have a lot to, per se, lose or give up in this walk with God. Not just in the ministry of Victory Outreach. I'm talking about serving the God according to the Word of God in the Bible. The biblical instruction before leaving earth. The reason that the Word of God was written down so that you and I would know how to serve God, how God expects. How to serve our family according to the Word of God. How to serve our spouses and our children, our community. Are you catching it? And so sometimes when we have a selfishness because taking another look, sometimes that ex-drug addict, that ex-gang member, that ex-alcoholic, they become that way too.
Amen.
They take everything back.
Come on.
They pray, God, restore my marriage and I'll do anything. And God restores the marriage. But then they take the spouse back.
Wow.
God, if you can do this and God, if you can do that, I'll serve you with all of my heart, all my mind. God, if you can be the lawyer in the courtroom, God. If you can be the physician, Lord, in the operating table, God, I'll serve you, God. I'll never hold back. I'll never do anything, God. Then all of a sudden we find ourselves. Find ourselves arguing. You know, could you imagine if these altars could talk?
Oh.
Could you Could you imagine that if every time that we made an altar call, that this altar started to remind us of the last time we made the altar call? Hey, I'm just sharing my own convictions. I'm sharing my own thoughts. In the years of being around, saying, God, I failed you at times. I've swindled at the altar. I've taken things and laid them at the altar, but already pulled them back by the time I hit the door. I was like Peter. I spoke too soon too many times. Put my foot in my mouth. I looked at man. Instead of seeing how God was behind man, God was using man. So all my vows, everything that I professed, I stood in the face of man instead of seeing, God, it was you working through this man. God, it was you.
Amen.
Working through this woman. Working through this ministry. God, it was you.
Amen.
Only to find myself in an argumentative stance with the Lord. Am I the only one this morning? See, there's a quote that says this. It says, the core of every human decision is a motivation. That what we have at the center of our lives can easily become our God. The Bible even says not to create the worship the created things, but to create worship the creator that created them. We can find ourselves in this situation. When we think about the heart was created to worship. And if it doesn't worship God, then the heart will long to worship something. Something. And we see that. We see that all of a sudden, an individual, they have this characteristic, this young person, this married couple, this single individual. Hey, I'm just going to go there this morning, and please don't take it wrong. But just like that man or that woman comes out of the home with all the potential, we have that same sight on those that come back from UTC. Hey, it's not unfamiliar that it's guaranteed that everybody that goes to UTC is going to come back and stay on fire from God. No, you got more of a fight. You got more of a responsibility. You went into a place. You were handpicked by God to go to this place to be trained. To have insight into the ministry, the world vision ministry that we belong to. Am I in the right place this morning?
Amen. That's right.
And so what would make you think that all of a sudden that you were exempt when you come back? See, that's why when we think about our pastors, our regional pastor, we think about Pastor Francisco, Sister Sylvia, and the role that they play in the region. How Sister Sylvia models releasing her husband. Could you imagine if she took Pastor Francisco back? She releases. Sister Valerie releases Pastor Jesse, but in return, they release their wives. Why? Because they worship the Lord.
Amen.
They trust the Lord.
Amen.
And they've role modeled to us that God will protect as we honor Him and do His will. Come on, give Jesus some praise this morning. See, in 2 Peter 3:18, he was talking about maturing as Christians. Because he knew through all the attacks that the immature Christian would simply not survive. That they would become goldfish swimming in shark tanks. And so when you think about the maturing in our Christian life, it isn't about what we do, but it's about what God does in us.
Uh-oh.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Come on.
It's about what God does in us. Look back. That's why Peter, he says, listen, you need to. In verse 18, he says, but you need to grow. You need to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. The word grow in Greek, it's ano. Ano. And it means to cause growth. Now listen to this very familiar scripture that we all use in John 3:30. It says, He must increase and I must decrease. The word increase is the same word that's used here in the Greek, which is ano. And it means that God has to become greater. There has to be an enlarging. So in other words, the capacity has to grow.
Yes.
But the thing about the capacity in the growth in this walk is it's based on a decision. The decision has to be fueled by a desire to look back and to consciously say, God, when I look back at when I first got saved, have I grown? Has my mentality changed? Have I become more intimate with you? Lord, when I look back at my giving, at my tithing report, has it grown? Have you increased in my capacity to trust you with my finances? Am I a member of United We Can? God, do I make pledges for the building? And do I stay faithful for the events that come so that we can continue to be a lighthouse here in Grand Prairie? Do I fulfill the financial pledges? See, that's about growth and maturity, because the attacks are going to come. Mr. Bill is going to be knocking on your door as soon as we make that conscious decision to financially get involved. The world will come and knock, beating at the door of our heart to come back into the place that it resided. Well, come on, somebody. We think about growing. We have to understand that everything that God creates, that it simply was created with a growth system.
Come on.
It was created with a growth system. And so in us, from the time that we were conceived, right, there was growth. There was growth in the womb. There's been growth outside the womb. There's been unwanted growth. Hello, somebody. I always say I didn't get all this from eating Cheerios. But nonetheless, in the spirit, there's still the requirement of growth.
That's right.
And so when we look at the spiritual growth, it takes us to places that God desired from the time that we were formed in the womb of our mother. But what is going to keep us on that growth pattern is by being relentless. Being relentless. That no matter what comes, no matter what the attack may be, no matter what the unexpected circumstance or the situations of life that come, that you and I, that we stay determined, we stay on course, that we look outside of ourselves, because we know that heaven is looking at us. Am I in the right place? He says to grow, but you have to grow in grace. The word grace is charis, and it means favor. When we look at 1 Peter 5, it says that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And we wonder why sometimes, how many of us know that we can get jealous sometimes? Oh, come on, somebody. We want to complain to God, and then we start complaining to each other. Oh my God, we utilize Facebook and Instagram. We even open up our MySpace account back up. Because we just want to complain about, you know, I don't understand. You know, I've been here and I've been faithful. I've been here for so long and I don't understand why he and she and they and them. Because faithfulness doesn't produce fruitfulness. Oh, you've been faithful. Faithfully complaining. Faithfully murmuring. Faithfully being selective and then you're going to go to the women's or the men's retreat. You've been faithful there. But you haven't been faithful in the decision that relentless. I don't care what my job says. Because they need to understand the person that they hire is because of the redeeming power of Jesus Christ. My job needs to understand that if I backslide, they will become my first victim. My job does not want an unsaved Paul Ramirez. So in order to keep me on track, I need to stay in the center of God's will, because that's who you hire. Stay centered. We've got to grow in the grace. See, all of a sudden when we find ourselves in humbleness, right? Doesn't the Bible talk about in James about the brother and the sister in humble circumstances ought to take pride in it?
Amen.
We start looking at that and we say, you know what, God? Man, I may not have what I want, but I have what I need.
Yes.
May not be where I want, but I'm not where I used to be. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, I may not be who I want to be, but thank God I ain't who I used to be.
Amen.
And because of that, God, not because of any 12-step program, not because of any therapist, God, not because of any person that just came and, you know, decided to, you know, try to talk to me about my future and all. No, it's because of your blood, Jesus. It's because of the word of God, Father. It's because of the power, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But more than that, it's the men and the women in this ministry that remained relentless since 1967 to the present day, that I find my dignity, that I find my destiny and purpose. Can someone say amen this morning? Radical.
Come on.
Why? Because we've learned how to submit and humble ourselves and say, God, in my humility before you, as I abandon my thoughts, God, as I abandon my attitude, Lord, I give room for your favor.
Amen.
I give room, God, for your encouragement, for your love. Oh, come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Look at the grace. See, grace that is given by God. We have to remember that it was that grace that began setting us free.
Oh, yeah.
Did you catch that?
Yes.
See, if you're still bound this morning,
come on.
You have to take a good self-evaluation.
Right.
If you've been coming to church for more than a month, 6 months, a year, and you're still struggling with the same sin that you came in the first day with, you have to evaluate yourself, because the grace of God.
Come on.
I don't know about you, but I felt the presence of God in our praise and our worship.
Yes.
When we were praying, even when we walked in, and no offense to Pastor Francisco or Sister Sylvia, but I even was talking with Pastor Josh last night. And I said, you know, no offense, I understand and respect the green room, but I need to come and pray.
Come on,
man.
I need to come under the influence of prayer, not under the influence of the green room. Hello, somebody. And I know that after service, of course, I'm going to be there and I'm going to fellowship with them because they're my friends. But I believe that my responsibility to them is to come in and get right with God.
Oh.
So I can be sensitive and partner with them in what God wants to do here in this
church.
Amen. Heavy.
But the reason that's so important is because grace that sets us free in the beginning is the reference point of when Satan tries to put his filthy hands on us and reattach a bondage back to us, we remember grace. We remember the power. Oh, come on. Oh, that was a good place to say amen. We sing that song, right? There's power. There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. To break every chain. There's power. In the name of Jesus,
come on.
That when the chain is broken,
yes.
I hear the chain falling.
Because
when the chain falls, it makes a noise that is joyful to heaven, but a noise that causes hell to tremble, because now they've been defeated. And so when I'm under the power of Jesus and the chain has been broken and fallen, then I'm able to rise up in the name of Jesus and be the army that God has intended me to be. Is there an army in the house? That's why he says, listen, we got to grow in the grace. Because as you grow in the grace, then also don't forget, you've got to grow in the knowledge. Got to grow in the knowledge. See, the knowledge is so important. Because it's not speaking. Peter wasn't talking about a general knowledge. So we have a lot of people that are knowledgeable about the Bible.
Oh, come on.
Well, hello, somebody. I'm just being honest this morning. We got a lot of per se theologians.
Come on now.
We got a lot of people that can preach circles around me any given day.
Come on.
And they're preaching and they got a cigarette in their hand. They're preaching. They got a sippy cup. They're preaching. And they got their wife on one side and their mistress on the other. Oh, but they know the word of God. They're knowledgeable. We even try to witness to them under the street, on the streets, but yet they're so knowledgeable about this God, but yet they choose to live a poverty living life. Poverty stricken life.
Come on.
But yet they'll quote every breakdown of every Hebrew word of Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom, but yet they do not know him intimately. Peter was saying, listen, you need to grow in this knowledge, because this knowledge of him, it produces intimacy. So when we're worshiping and we're praising, that it's not just words that we're singing into the air, but it's words that are breaking through the heavenly realms. Hello, somebody. It's in our praise that when we begin to sing, praise is actually, if I could say it like this for those that you don't know, praise is like our testimony with music. In the name of Jesus, right? We have the victory. Hallelujah, right? It's a victory song. But then all of a sudden we begin to worship. Begin to worship in the intimacy. Now it's becoming intimate. We thank God this way for everything you've done, but now I'm coming this way. Now I'm connecting. Horizontal, vertical, God. I'm connecting that way. Why am I connecting that way? Because my thoughts and my actions have to be invaded by heaven. In this time of worship and praise, because that begins to set up the ministering of the gospel. It begins to set up the atmosphere for the tithe and the offering. It starts to provoke people in the time of greeting to not just go to the person that you know, but to look around and say, you know what? There's a new person, or you know what, maybe there's aught with this brother, this sister. This is a good time to go and say, you know what, man, before the preaching begins and we go any farther in the service, I just want to apologize to you.
That's right.
Just want to make it right. See, but when we have our praise and our worship on, hello somebody.
That's right.
Then all of a sudden there's an overflow. I believe that there's synergy that's in the house. When we have 3, 4, 5, 10 people that are connecting that way. What does the Bible say? It says where two or more agree. The word agree is symphonio in the Greek, is where we get our English word symphony. Bypassed into the word harmony. Meaning that when we come in a singleness of mind and in thought about what we believe and who he is and what he can do, then there's an overflow into those that may come in doubting or skeptical. The sound is louder. The voice of God is louder than any voice that that individual that may be discouraged or depressed has been listening to all week, all morning. Am I in the right place this morning? We grow in this knowledge. See, when we think about Jesus, he said, look, in John 4:34, he said, my food is to do the will of my Father. When we look at the natural, the food, it makes reference of a diet that the body recharges and the body refreshes from a healthy diet. Contrary to if we have a bad diet, the body is weak. The body doesn't have stamina. And so Jesus, because he traveled quite a bit through walking, a little bit by boat, right? But primarily Jesus walked. And there wasn't the roads in Palestine and the areas that he would travel in his 3 years of ministry here on earth. And so there was times that physically he would become tired. But his food was the will of the Father. That was his food. That refreshed him. See, when we're connecting with God the Father, when we're connecting with who Jesus desires us to be, we have a relentless approach and saying, I want to be like you, Jesus. I want to serve you, Jesus. I need the indwelling of the Holy Ghost that sustained you, Jesus. I may not know my call yet, But I see the call that is evident upon my pastors and upon the ministry of Victory Outreach. So when I get weary and I get tired, like you, Jesus, I want to consume these things to sustain me. And then Jesus said that the reason that this sustained him as food was because it was the will of God. The will of God. And I know my time is short. I'm almost there. He said the will. This word will in the Greek, it's the lima. But the key about this word is the suffix ma. Ma. Say ma with me. Ma.
Ma.
Ma means this. It conveys the notion of a result. That what's willed, in other words, God, if this is your will, you've willed this for me, Jesus was saying. It's the same desire we have to have. God, if you willed this for me, that this is my ministry, this is your will. Pastor Francisco, Sister Sip, this is your will. There are my pastors, my spiritual parents. This is your will. This is my church. Victory Outreach, Grand Prairie. If this is your will for me, then God, mock me. There will be a result for what you desire for me in this church. There will be a result for me that submitting to the spiritual authority that you put over me, God. Ma means this. It means specifically and particularly that there is concrete evidence that God, if this is the object of your desire that pleases you, then my pleasure is carrying it out. Oh, come on, somebody. If you're in the home,
come on.
It's your season.
Yes.
That's his will and his desire.
Yes.
Ma, God, I will carry it out.
Come on.
You may find yourself in a hard place in your walk with the Lord. You find some division and discouragement at times, but you know what, God? Ma, this is my church, God. You didn't abandon me, Jesus. You didn't abandon me on the cross. So, ma, I won't abandon the church you brought me in. I won't abandon the pastors that you put over my... The pastors that sacrificed their life so I would have a place to get my life right. Ma, God, if this is what you want, then this is where I'll stay. Ma. See, when we think about Jesus's his life purpose, he was the ultimate definition of being relentless. Because we'll never ever have to sacrifice and do what he did in order to pay the price that he paid. We're the beneficiaries of that. Salvation, hey, the forgiveness of sin, it's good enough. It is that we won't spend eternity in hell and damnation, but that we are forgiven. But then because of the forgiveness and bringing us in as children and heirs to the throne of God, then all of a sudden, we are able to say, God, you're now God, my Father. And because you're God, my Father, then I'm able to look at you as God, my healer. God, my redeemer. God, my reconciler. God, my provider. God, my way maker. You are Elohim, Amah. You are my everything and my all, God. Are you catching it this morning? Stand with me. Some other things that I want to share, but I want to end right here. 2 Peter, once again, 3:18. Our life as a Christian. We had a starting line. I don't know if there's some of you, maybe you haven't came up to the starting line. Maybe you've come, but you've been a spectator. You've been dating the church. I'm just saying, they're just terms that we use that identify with us. It's not to be contradictory or to offend you. I'm just being honest. It's language we get. Right? Someone wants to make a commitment. Nah, I ain't making no commitment. We're just dating. Right? And sometimes that's how it is with God in the church. Sometimes we're just dating. But every single service, every single life group, Every time that you have that conversation with your pastor and with your leaders, God's bringing you to the starting line. He's bringing you right there. He's bringing you to that starting line and saying, listen, initiate this walk. Initiate. Because why? Why is that so important? Because as we receive Jesus, Savior, and then all of a sudden, His Spirit begins to fill us. Not a spirit of the world. Not a spirit of a drug that we were under. Huh? Not a demonic spirit, but a Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost begins to fill us and reside in us and give us strength and ability. Give us confidence and assurance that we've never ever had before. And so all of a sudden when this begins to take its place, then God begins to prepare us for the longevity of serving. Yes. Oh, come on, give the Lord some praise. Yes. That's why you have to connect with your pastors.
Right.
See, Buffy and I, we remember when they were there in Dallas before they ever got sent out. And throughout the years frequenting Dallas, and then now this last year that we've been in Dallas, they have a good lineage. Yeah. They have a good lineage.
Right.
They have a good name in Dallas. And so you have to connect with them because they got saved at a young age. And whether you're young in age or young in the Lord, when we look at things in the Spirit and we use the word young, that's what we're making reference to. It doesn't have to do with your age, but sometimes it does. But more than anything, it's your youth or your age in the Lord. And so when you talk with your pastors, and then you talk with your leaders, Pastor Josh, he's been around. He's been around. He's had to respond to this message. Not that I preached it to him, but his life is in this message. Am I right, Pastor Josh? His life is in there. Every leader's life is in there. Every long-standing Christian's life is in this message. And so that's why you connect with your pastors and before you allow a false doctrine to get your attention. A complaining individual. Somebody from another ministry. The radio TV preacher. I'm just being honest with you. Then you come and you say, you know what? I need to talk with you, Pastor Princess. Sister Sylvia, can I meet with you? Brother Josh, can we get coffee? Because I'm in this situation. And I don't want to lose my fire.
Come on.
I don't want to have to keep recommitting myself. I want to stay committed. I'm realizing that my marriage is in jeopardy. My freedom is in jeopardy. My integrity, the testimony that I have is in jeopardy. And I don't want to blow it. So please allow me to meet with you and speak to me. I'm going to leave you with this. Goals live on the other side of obstacles and challenges. Be relentless in the pursuit of those goals, especially in the face of obstacles. Along the way, listen to me, along the way, make no excuses.
Yes.
And place no blame.
Right. Good.
Come on, give the Lord some praise. It's been no secret. Nothing has ever come easy for the Ministry of Victory Outreach. Being there in San Jose for the number of years that we were there, we saw Pastor Ed and Sister Mitzi fight. Fight for buildings. Fight for property. Fight the city. The highest court. Giving finances. We remember those fights. But God was faithful.
Amen.
Pastor Ed, they still were raising up leaders. They were still sending out churches.
Yes.
They were relentless. It's in our DNA.
Right.
It's in our DNA. It's evident in this place this morning.
Amen.
Hold on to the promise.
That's right.
Grow in the things of God. Connect like never before with your church. Connect with the international vision of Victory Outreach. It will keep you because that vision is bigger than you and I. It overrides. It overrides discouragement and depression. Hallelujah. As we begin to sing this song, glory to God. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Come on, we're going to sing that song. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Such a simple song, a declaration and a statement. Just give ourselves away. Hallelujah, God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, begin to sing that out like a mass choir. Yes, Lord, we give ourselves. Lord, we bring our marriage to you. We bring, God, the wholeness of life, God. We bring our call. God, we bring our circumstances, our health before you, God. Lord, we are not reluctant this morning, God. We choose not to hold anything back this morning, God. We give ourselves away, God, because we know that you look past us, God. You look past our failures and mistakes. You look past our shortcomings, God. And you look at how you created us, Lord. You are the chief architect, the designer, God. So you know, God. You know what we possess in the truth of the best of God. So we ask this morning, God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord, hallelujah. Lord, oh, 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 oh. So that I can have a relentless pursuit. Jesus,
Jesus,
take control.
Take control.
Forgive me.
Forgive
me.
Forgive
me.
Forgive
me. So that I can do what you called me to do.
Holy Spirit,
take control.
Move in my life.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, right where you're at. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 But this morning, you know, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but we just need to be about God's business this morning. And not to embarrass you, but just by the raising of your hand, if you say, you know what, I need to get right. I need to get right back in line with God. I know God's called me. I know God has a plan. And only you and the Lord know the fight. Other people may think you're okay. They would even be surprised by the raising of your hand this morning. But that's where we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And so today, by every hand closed, I'm sorry, every eye closed and every hand raised this morning, if that's you and you say, you know what, I just need to align myself. I need to get right back into the pursuit of what God had created and intended me to become. I want to pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, God. Lord, many times, God, I've found myself in this place, Lord. And I thank God for those preachers. I thank God for my pastor. Thank God for the brothers in Christ that came in and encouraged, Lord. And so this morning, I ask for your power, God, your presence, Lord, your love and mercy to fall upon those individuals that just need a touch. They need a stirring in their soul and their spirit this morning, God, because they do want to do your will. They want to serve you, God. They don't want to go back to the world. They don't want to become complacent, God. The vision, it burned inside of them once before. God, rekindle that fire, God. Stir that soul once again, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. In the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The last thing I want to do is that if you're sick in body, you got an ailment, you have symptoms, you haven't even gone to the doctor, maybe some have had diagnosis. I want to pray for you this morning. I'm going to ask Josh to help us this morning, but we've experienced divine healing in our family. Our grandson was healed of cancer. He was healed of cancer. He was diagnosed. He was diagnosed with neuroblastoma. He had two tumors the size of golf balls when he was the 1 year old to the day. He's never had chemotherapy. He's never had radiation. God healed him, but that's because we were trained how to pray and intercede for his healing. And so we know God is no respecter of men, and we have faith this morning to pray for you. We also had a situation a couple of weeks back. My daughter had her first baby. He's only 2 months old, and she had called about 5 a.m. in the morning. You know, she's crying. You know, she's screaming, "Dad, the baby is not moving. The baby is not moving." Buffy and I, you know, Buffy right there, she got on her knees and began to pray. My daughter was raised in the church, and I said, "Tanya, get yourself together. You lay your hands on that baby.
Amen.
Get your husband. You tell him to start pleading the blood of Jesus." We heard the paramedics coming through the door, only to hear that paramedic say, there's nothing wrong. You know, maybe he was in a, you know, they're trying to justify, you know, maybe he was in a deep sleep. Now, Buffy and I weren't there, but we know our daughter. And so if the spirit of death tried to show up once again, just like he showed up for my other grandson, but how many of us know that we trust with all humility, we trust and believe God, that God can heal. And so today, we want to believe two things, that either you're going to experience a miracle,
yes,
or God's going to,
yes,
begin the process of your healing song.
Yes.
And so we want to sing this song. Maybe if there's another song that you have a song for. Amen. I'll have you do that. Come on, let's sing an appropriate song.
Amen. We're going to...
Come on,
Brother Jerry right here, he's going to go have surgery, amen, next week. And so we just want to pray for him. We want to lay hands on him. So we can just get a few guys right here. And if the church, if you could go ahead and just stretch your hands, amen. We want to pray for a miracle. Amen. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we know that you are able, God, Lord, to do the impossible, God. We plead the blood of Jesus upon Brother Jerry, God. Lord, we pray, God, Lord, that you would give strength to his legs, oh God. Lord, that you would heal, God, every nerve, God, every muscle, every, God, tissue, God, every bone, God, Lord, right now, from the soles of his feet to the top of his head, God, we pray healing, we pray a miracle, God, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would raise him up out of this chair, God, Lord, that he would be a soldier, God, Lord, in the army of God, Lord, right now, God, we pray for a healing touch of God, be with him as he has surgery, oh God, right now, in the name of Jesus, oh God, we pray, God, right now, for all those, God, Lord, that need a healing in their body.